don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passers ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome to Rock the Boat Radio, right here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And I apologize for not being on the show last week. I don't know if I got hacked or what, but my machine froze up and couldn't get it running again until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But there's a lot of hackers out there. And we have to turn things around. I don't understand. Well, I do understand how our people got so stupid through the education system, which came from the Prussian system. And the whole idea of putting the children in the schools is to lie to them, propagandize them, and indoctrinate them into not questioning or challenging so-called authority. And once they go through the school system for 13 years, and then when they become adults, they just bow down to the so-called authority, which is not authority, but that's what they put into the heads of the children, that they would get in trouble if they question or challenge so-called authority. And then when they become adults, they remain in a childlike mindset. And any idiot can come up to you with a piece of paper and say you have to do this or that, and you just bow down to it. And it's time we put our foot down and say, no, we're not putting up with this anymore. But most of the people live in fear. Don't want to get in trouble. Don't want to put their foot down and say no to the so-called authority, which is not authority. They don't have any authority over you. And if you go back to our forefathers who came here after Luther woke him up. And I don't think Luther would have ever understood it, but his father wanted him to become a lawyer. So he went to lawyer school, and after a while he quit. And his fellow students couldn't figure out why he quit because he was top of the class, but he obviously understood the lawyer club, the liars and deceivers. Then he went to work to try to wake the people up. And when he woke the people up, they came here to North America to build a new house out from under the boot of tyranny. But the deceivers used two things, benefits and fear. And when our forefathers came here, they built the villages and the towns. But all they had was wells and outhouses. And then the benefit people came in and said, you know, we can put in sewer lines and water lines, but you have to incorporate your town, which took the town away from the people. And then later on, they offered our mother's benefits. A free check every month till your child's 18, a free education, and if your child gets sick, he can go to the hospital. And all of these things are corporations created by the legal club. But they didn't give disclosure to her mothers, because her mothers would have never signed the damn thing had they been given disclosure. You know, it's a registration form, but it's not really a registration form. It's the incorporation form. And all of the children were incorporated into the corporation, making us, the people, assets, cattle, chattel, slaves of the corporation. And they just keep feeding off of you. And we don't have a government. It's the body of the corporation. And we don't have a government. But I was really proud of our forefathers when the legal club set up here in 1791, long before 1867, and our forefathers, Britain was an empire club, as was Rome. And they worked very closely together. And Britain set up the Hudson's Bay Company, chartered company, East India Company, the Plymouth Company, the Virginia Company, down in the States. And they all had their jails and their courts, and they all told people what they could and couldn't do. But our forefathers here in Canada told them to shove off. You don't have any authority over us. And that's basically what we have to do now, because they don't have any authority over us. But they turned you into a legal fictional person, which is not reality. It's a fantasy world that they created. But our forefathers told them to shove off. You don't have any authority over us. And then they got back to Britain and said, we understand you started a parliament legislature thing. How's that working out? Great. They don't get it. Well, then you better send that over here, because they're not listening to us. And who created Canada? The lawyers, liars, deceivers, and the Freemason. John A. MacDonald was also a lawyer, liar, deceiver. And then they told us we were given responsible government, but the word responsible and responsible government doesn't have the dictionary meaning of the word responsible. So we were put back under the boot of tyranny. And we have to fix that. And it's not hard to fix. They don't have any authority. But they fear the people into believing they have authority, which they don't. You're supposed to be a man and a woman in law, not a legal fictional person in their legal club. And we got to get back to reality. And it's not difficult to do, because they don't have any authority. And what do the police do? The police protect the corporations and hand out tickets to you when you didn't cause anybody any harm. But it's all revenue streams. And the corporation can make any rule or regulation they want without the consent of the people. And they just keep adding revenue streams and keep pushing the globalist agendas upon our people and our nation, which is really stupid. But they've mind screwed the people so badly that the people don't want to stand up. But we all have a duty, just like our forefathers understood their duty. We all have a duty to those who come after us. And I'm really happy that the students are finally waking up. And I've said this before. When I, just about a week before high school started, I went to the high school, talked to a teacher, and told the teacher to quit lying to the students. And I thought he was going to get really, really angry. But he didn't. And his response was, yes, I know we're lying to the students. But the problem is, it's a corporation. And if a teacher speaks the truth, he's going to get fired. Same thing in our municipal so-called governments, which are not governments, they're corporations. And we have CAOs there who are specifically trained on how to move the global to local into our communities. And if a counselor speaks up and speaks the truth, he's going to get reprimanded and likely kicked out. So truth has a boot on it. And we got to lift the boot off the truth. And we don't need to be fearful of these people. These people are all criminals who don't give a damn about our people or our nation. And we have to fix that. We built everything in the nation, meaning it belongs to the people, not the corporation. And we have to get back to being real people in law, and kick these, well, what I'd like to do is build a zoo and put all these people, these deceivers in the zoo so people could go to the zoo and maybe we could throw rotten tomatoes at them for all the harm they've caused our people. But we got to get rid of them. And get back to being real people and live your life the way you want to live your life, as long as you don't cause anybody any harm. Now, I'm going to go to a meeting on the 30th of March with it. And this is a really pretty, he woke up. He was in the army. And he was a cop in Toronto. And then he came up here after he woke up. And he understands the game now. And he's not allowed to go to the hospital. He's not allowed to go to the grocery store because the police, and he was a policeman, but he's not a policeman now, but the police protect the corporations. And so he can't go to the hospital and he can't go to the grocery store because they're corporations. And the sad part is that OMERS, the Ontario Municipal Employee Retirement System, is a partner of the World Economic Forum. And it says the police are part of it. And the Teachers Federation Pension Fund of Ontario is a partner of the World Economic Forum. And you can't get much more of a deceiver than Klaus Schwab. But our municipalities in Ontario and the schools in Ontario are all partners of the World Economic Forum. And we have to start a new school system so that the students understand the truth. But most of the students I talk to now get it. They fully understand that climate is a total fraud and that COVID is a total fraud. And I've got the documents from the H1N1 on canadiantruths.wordpress.com. And if you just put in H1N1 and go down until you see Arlene King, who was the health agency of Ontario, they said in 2007, the WHO said in 2007, we have to have a pandemic within 5 years or we may lose our business model. It's got absolutely nothing to do with your health. It's all corporate. It's all about making money off of you and fearing you. And then just before, well, 5 years before, Bill Gates at TEDx said, we're going to have an epidemic, not a pandemic, an epidemic, which is what it used to be called long time ago. And they just pulled the sheet off the shelf, the Spanish flu, which is the only time people had to wear a mask, were forced to wear a mask. But the doctors were writing President Wilson, telling him to stop the vaccinations, because the vaccinations are nothing more than blood murder, which is true. They're just shoving junk into your bloodstream, which kills a lot of people and destroys your immune system. They don't care about you. They care about the money. And Bill Gates also said that it could be bioterrorism, which is exactly what it is, bioterrorism. And nothing to do with your health, but fear and money. And we got to put a stop to this nonsense, because we're supposed to look after our people and not allow these corporations to kill you. I mean, they used to use the wars to move their agendas forward and kill hundreds of millions of people. But they don't give a damn about you. And now they're using the needles. And we got to put a stop to it. We have to put a stop to it. And like I said, it's not that difficult to do so. And I've said this before too, but in 2011, an indigenous community of 20,000 people in Mexico, which is corporate, it's all corporate, and the administration and the council were going to allow an outside corporation to come in and clear cut the bush, which was their only resource. And some of the guys went down to talk to these people, but they apparently disappeared. Guess they got killed. And then the ladies started talking. And they were really ticked off about the men because the men didn't seem to want to do anything or hear anything. But eventually, the ladies brought the community together. And the men went in and throughout the administration, throughout the council, throughout the police, because the police, just like the police here, don't come from your town. And they didn't come from their town. And they had all kinds of drug problems and rape problems and murder problems, of which is raising here now. And they don't allow any drugs in the town anymore. And they created their own council, and they planted the bush again. And they're happy people because they're looking after each other, not having the boot on them, telling them what they can and can't do. You can do whatever the hell you want to do if you don't cause anybody any problem. And we have to get back to this. Got to get back to reality. And kill the corporate body that is telling you what you can and can't do. I never put up with that crap. And I can't believe how weak the men have become. You know? It's just amazing. I don't put up with this nonsense. Never did. Even when I was a child, I didn't put up with it. Somebody comes and says, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, I don't. Who are you? Well, I'm your teacher. And? Well, you got to do what I tell you to do. No, I don't. Simple as that. And I had a teacher in grade 5, I think it was, that told me that I had to stay after school for a detention. I said, no, I got other things to do. And once school's out, you don't have any of this so-called authority. So if you want to give me a detention, you do it during school hours. So have a nice day. Goodbye. And I never, ever got another detention. If you put your foot down, you scare them. And I had a lady, 55 years old, or late 50s, and they came here and tried to put a stop work order on my house. And I just ripped it up and threw it in the ditch. And told them to send the head building inspector. And she came down with a pencil neck. And she told me that when I raised the roof, that I stole municipal air. And I said, don't come back here ever again. And my electrician, who was in his 70s, was going to run the wires in the ditch back to the back house. And when I walked him out to the road, and came back. He was leaning against the back house. And he just said, are we done or do we keep working? And I said, we keep working. And he just gave me a big smile. He said, I thought that's what you're going to say. If you bow down to this nonsense, you're going to get run over. And then I went up to the municipality and talked to the CAO. And he said, well, you obviously know what you're doing. And I said, did you hear what you just said? I know what I'm doing, but your people don't know what the hell they're doing. And so I don't need a building permit anymore. And I put out a website. I told them I was going to put out a website. And I had people stopping me all over the place who were not builders, but they're building a deck or this or that, renovating the house. And they said, one inspector comes in and tells us to do it this way. And then another inspector comes in, tells us we've got to tear it apart and do it this way. Costing us all kinds of time and money. But my favorite one was that lady in her late 50s. I went to get a coffee. And she said to me, she says, is that your website? I said, about the house? Yeah. She said, I've never done anything like this in my life. Because you were taught to bow down. Not stand up. Like a real man or woman. And she said, we're just renovating our farmhouse. And one comes out and tells us to do it this way, so we do it that way. Another one comes out and tells us we got to tear it apart and do it this way. And after I read what you wrote, and she said, I've never done anything like this in my life before. Inspector came out, got out of his truck. I went out the door, looked at him and said, is that your truck? He said, you know it is. And I just looked at him and told him, you got 5 minutes to get off my land, or you're going to have 4 flat tires and I ain't driving you back to town. That's how that worked out. We've never seen another inspector since. Exactly. Exactly. If you just keep bowing down to these clowns, you're giving them power. If you stand up and say no, you take the power away from them. And we have to get away from the legal club and get back to law. And I've said this before too. I was really ticked off when we buried my father. This really ticked me off. When we buried my father, after we were done that, I went around and looked at the tombstone. And was my father's name on the tombstone? No. The legal fictional person. The all cap name was on the tombstone. Because the municipality controls the cemetery. And the asset, my father, was no longer an asset of the corporation. And they put their name on the tombstone, not my father's name. Now, why would we put up with that kind of crap? Why? Because they fear the people. Well, I don't want to get in trouble. That's what was going on in the school system. And that's what's going on when you become an adult. You don't want to get in trouble. And all these protests, they just make me want to throw up. You know, these people protesting, and they're just like whiny little children. They're not adults. They're not getting to a solution. protesting doesn't get to a solution. It just a bunch of whiny little children. You're supposed to be an adult. And we have to get to being adults. Because we are the power, not them. And but they fear you into thinking that they have authority over you, which they don't. Now, when I was in Vancouver Island, and I'm really glad this guy did this, because Ladysmith, which is just below Nanaimo, had some curves coming in to the town. And they had a speed trap set up with a whole bunch of cars pulled over. And I decided to go see a client. And we were talking out in the backyard. And he was all happy with everything. And I told him about the speed trap. And then he said to me, "What are you driving?" "The pickup truck." "Well, let's go look at it." "Why?" "Come on, let's go look at it." And he went around the back of the truck and pulled out a pen and a pad, started writing stuff down. "Hey, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm RCMP. "And?" "Well, you're a good guy. So I'm going to write the particulars down of your vehicle and put it out to the rest of the RCMP in the district so they don't bother you." "Well, that's cool." And I had these RCMP waving at me. And when I came back east, I got pulled over by a cop. And, I was going north and he was going south, but I saw his brakes go on. So I just pulled over and waited for him. And he came over to the car and he says, I'm glad you pulled me over. And he said, "I've been a cop for over 30 years. Nobody has ever said they were glad I pulled them over." "Well, I am. Because we have to come to an agreement. Because every district has a different speed. The signs don't mean anything. And down my way, the cops tell me I can do just a tick under 110 on the highway." And the cop said, "Well, I can't do that." And I said, "Well, I was only doing 100 on the highway." And he said, "Well, I can give you 100. I said, "Well, that's fine. So take the particulars of the vehicle and send it out to the rest of the police in your district." He said, "I've never done nothing like that before." I said, "Well, we just came to an agreement. So you have a duty. Because I don't want to get pulled over at 95 and get a ticket. We agreed to 100, so you have a duty to take the particulars of the vehicle and put it out to the people, the police in your district, so they know that I have the right to do 100 on the highway." And he finally did that. And I've done that a couple of times. We're the power, not them. We are the power. And most of the people think the corporation or the so-called government, which we don't have, has the authority, when it's all fraud. And fraud's against the law. Now, I was talking to a young kid yesterday. He came over to the car. I was waiting for my wife to get off work. And he was maybe 12 or 13 years old. And he was a Mennonite. And he was had some jugs of maple syrup in his hand. And I told him, I said, "I don't have any money right now. They're not on my wallet. But we had a little chat. And he agreed 100% that school is a bad joke. He said, I went to school for a week and left because I can learn a hell of a lot more, a lot faster out of school than I can in school, which is true. Because the school system is just to numb your mind. So you do as you're told. And I was really proud of that young guy because he's out working and learning things, not sitting in the classroom learning nothing except the indoctrination. And we have to start new schools. Because we have a duty to the children. And we have to tell them the truth. Not the lies and propaganda that's being told to them in the schools. We have to take over the schools. We have to take over our municipalities. And once done, we're unincorporated, meaning they have absolutely no authority whatsoever. But you were all indoctrinated into the corporation, and which gives them so-called power over you, but they don't have power over you. They only have power over the legal fictional person that they created, which is all corporate. And once we have control of our communities, then you can own your house and you can own your car because your car is registered to the corporation, your house is registered to the corporation, meaning they can make any rule or regulation they want. But what it's really registered to the corporation for is that they can borrow money because your house and your vehicle and you are all assets of the corporation. And the reason the house prices went up so high is they needed to borrow more money. And we're on the hook for it, pushing in the globalist agendas. And I don't understand why we would put up with that. We don't need a war. We just need to say no. It's that simple. We don't need anger, and we don't need violence. Because that just fears the people again. Which is what the... You know, here's a thing. Here's a thing. Antihate.ca. Anti-Semitism surges on Twitter after Musk purges. Action for Canada banned from school board meetings. And the anti-LGBTQ advocacy group, Action for Canada, has been barred from attending school board meetings in Mission, BC. EU parliamentarian meeting, Canada's far right during cross-country tour. What would Christian Anderson Dude tour, a member of the European Parliament, is making numerous stops across the country hosting talks and dinner events, which is wrong. Anti-trans activists are disrupting school boards across Canada. Canadian neo-Nazis join anti-drag protests. Capital City anti-drag protests outnumbered once again by supporters. Now here we have at the bottom, February 8th, 2023, the so-called Queen of Canada, Romaine Dildilo, tells followers to shoot illegal migrants on sight. Consider them all invaders and occupiers. They are paid by the cabals, deep staters, black hats, globalists, to create chaos and destabilize our kingdom like they have done in the EU. Shoot them at sight. Now, we have to shut down the illegal migrants coming across the border. The federal level is supposed to deal with immigrants, but they're not. That was all changed out. And just coming across the border anywhere they want to. And the sad part of this, we don't need to shoot anybody. That's just going to cause all kinds of problems. You know, man harassing Calgary family drag event ejected by attendees. I mean, it's so ridiculous, this anti-hate. The Canadian Anti-Hate Network is an independent nonprofit organization made up of Canada's leading experts and researchers on hate groups and hate crimes. Our advisory committee includes academics like Dr. Barbara Perry, court-recognized experts on hate crimes, lawyers, and with lawyers with decades of experience with hate groups, people who stood up to the neo-Nazi Heritage Front in the 1990s, and leaders in communities that are being traded or targeted by hate. We have a relationship with colleagues and organizations doing similar work internationally, such as Southern Poverty Law Center and experts. Our mandate is to monitor, research, and counter hate groups by providing education and information on hate groups to the public, media, researchers, courts, law enforcement, and community groups. Which is total fraud. And if you know these people, now here's Bernie Farber. Bernie Farber is the chair, and he was the chair of the Mosaic Institute, where they threw a party for Naheed Nenshi, who was the mayor of Calgary. And he was made global mayor in 2014, and they had a party for him in 2017. Acknowledged as one of Canada's most accomplished NGO CEOs, Bernie Farber's career spans more than a quarter century focused on human rights, anti-racism, pluralism, inter-ethnic, faith-race relations. His efforts have been documented in numerous Canadian human rights publications, books, newspapers, magazines. His work has also been cited for its expertise in a number of academic publications. Mr. Farber has successfully run large NGOs and foundations such as the Canadian Jewish Congress, the Palomo Foundation, and he is recently retired as executive director of the Mosaic Institute, of which threw the party for Nancy, which included Tinkerbell Trudeau, the PM, and a bunch of other people who were in government. Today, Mr. Farber is a human rights consultant, newspaper columnist, and social justice advocate. He has received numerous awards for his civil rights work, including the Queen's Diamond Jubilee Medal. Well, the Queen is part of the problem. The Queen knighted Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum and hangs out with the popes and whatnot. So that's upside down. Government of Canada, 125 commemorative medal, and the Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police Award for outstanding service and dedication to policing in the province of Ontario, among others. And the police, their job is to protect the corporation and hand out tickets to you, which are revenue streams, when you didn't cause anybody any problem. So this hate, anti-hate thing is complete bullcrap. And Bernie Farber should be in a zoo. But, you know, if you go and you understand what's going on, I really wish everybody would go to antihate.ca. Because the lawyers, liars, deceivers. Richard Warman, board member. Richard is a human rights lawyer, perhaps best known for having dedicated an enormous amount of his personal time, energy, and resources over the past 20 years to monitoring and countering the efforts of those who seek to poison our communal well with hate. These are all liars and deceivers. And here we have Nigel Barafi, a community organizer and an elementary teacher with the Toronto School District School, is an executive officer with Elementary Teachers of Toronto. Another liar and deceiver. These are all liars and deceivers. All of them. And here we have Kurt Phillips, a high school and junior high school teacher since 2002. Kurt is a founder and former lead writer of Anti-Racist Canada, which for more than 12 years has been one of the premier anti-racist websites in Canada, used by academics, journalists, and law enforcement. These are all liars and deceivers. And here we have the Monk School of Global Affairs, Evan Balgord. Evan is an investigative journalist and researcher covering the rise of the new far right and hate groups in Canada. He is a fellow of the Monk School and Affairs Fellowship in Global Journalism and graduated with an honors degree. And before this, Evan was working as a special assistant to Toronto Mayor John Tory, who was also part of the party for Naheed Nenshin in 2027. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous that people put up with this nonsense. Sue Gardner, work is motivated by the desire to ensure that everybody in the world has access to information that they need to make good decisions. Sue spent the first decade of her career as a journalist at CBC, and this goes on and on. Sue has an honorary doctorate of laws from the Toronto Metropolitan University, was named technology pioneer by the World Economic Forum. I mean, give me a frickin' break. These people are all liars and deceivers. But you're not supposed to say anything. Exposing and stopping hate. They're the haters. They're the haters. They hate you. And they want 100% control over you. These are demons. And we have to fix this. Simple as that. These people are 100% liars and deceivers. But they smile at you. And they're lawyers, school teachers, media people. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. I just got a note there. They hate you and me. 100% fraud. Yes, it is 100% fraud. And fraud's against the law because fraud harms people. And these are all fraudsters. And we have to turn it around. Because we have a duty to do so. And it's not that difficult to do. So, you know, if people go to antihate.ca and look at their mandates and their news, it's absolutely off the charts. And we have to fix it. Because if we don't fix it, then we, the people, become the guilty party. Period. Here's some music, and so we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and see if we can bring someone in. I want to bring Chris in maybe to see about how Leslie's doing.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Walk the Boat with Vaughn Stevens, only at freedomslips.com.
Welcome back. Just before we get going again, I want to remind people that Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com is listener supported, and we need your support because we got to turn this around. And there are several different ways that you can donate, so look around at freedomslips.com and please donate. I don't care if it's $5 or $50,000. But we got to keep this show on the air. And wake our people up. And so, we'll see. There's Chris. I'm gonna bring Chris and Sheila. Sheila ran for mayor or for council up here. She's in Guelph now. But I went knocking doors with her because they wouldn't let me run that year. And people kept asking me, "Why aren't you running for mayor?" They won't let me. And but when we got back to the house, Sheila, the radio said that Sheila won the election. And a little bit later, the radio came out and said oh, we made a mistake. Sheila didn't win. Randy Ropel, the Freemason, won. And which is a total pile of nonsense. And I'm going to bring Sheila in. Got Sheila? Let's see what happens here. But it's really not difficult to fix this. And like I keep saying, that the students are awake now. And I'm very, very impressed with them. Because when I was a child in school, they just sat there and sucked up whatever was told to them. Okay, I've got Sheila. Let's see here. But the whole point is that we get this straightened out, because you've all been lied to since you were born, and that doesn't work. And if you see and know what's going on, then you have a duty to speak to other people. Knowing what's going on and not speaking to other people doesn't work. And, you know, sometimes when I talk to older people, they understand that Canada does not have a government. It's just a corporation. And so we have to wake our people, just like they did in Mexico, and just like they did up in Hudson's Bay. That was another indigenous outfit. And I spoke to the chief, and the province was going to allow corporation to go into their district and set up a mine without the consent of the people, because they don't need the consent of the people because it's a corporation. You couldn't do this if you had a government, because the people would say yes or no. But some of the guys said no, and they were thrown in jail. And because the police and the legal club protect the corporation. And but eventually the community came together and put their foot down and said no. And then the corporation was going to sue them for $30 billion. I guess what they thought they were going to make out of the mine. But the people came together and put their foot down and said, no, we did not consent to this. And therefore, you have no authority to put a mine in our district. And then the province wrote them a check for $5 million to the corporation, of which we're on the hook for. And why would we put up with this? Have we got you, Sheila?
You do. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I got
I'm so glad to speak to you.
I've been in technology freaking la-la land for the last 3 weeks between phones and computers and downloading programs and stuff. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
I haven't been arrested lately. I'm really glad you're in Guelph.
Yeah, we're in some interesting times. You heard that Chris Skye's running for mayor of Toronto, eh?
Say that again?
You know that Chris Skye's running for mayor in Toronto?
Yeah, but he got arrested, didn't he?
He's out now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He's all gung-ho. I think I had a chat with him a couple of weeks ago. He understands that transition that's happening between the public private and the whole oath thing. And I think he's got a good freaking shot. I really don't see any possible way of getting away from these freaks, whether they're banking freaks, they're police freaks, they're government freaks, they're education freaks, whatever. The only way is to get your mayor under a true oath and obligation to the people within that jurisdiction, and then create your mayor under law and get totally out of all things legal. People are approaching me to go on radio shows to talk about the Bill of Rights, to talk about the Canada Constitution in 1867, to talk about notices of liability, to talk about constitutional challenges, and I want to puke. The only way we can solve this is to get the hell away from lawyers. How do you do that? You unincorporate. Everybody's trying to find unincorporated lawyers. Well, they want to find unincorporated land in Ontario. What the hell are you doing? We have the land here. We own the assets here. We have the infrastructure here. This belongs to us. We simply unincorporate our mayor, our councillors, our office of the mayor, and our people from this city corporation, whatever the hell monster it is, and they will still be on the hook for the legal person that they have registered in the all cap name, and they'll be on the hook for the property taxes and the hydro bills and still responsible for that legal person, but we will have removed the people and put them under a lawful umbrella of a trust arrangement or an equity arrangement, or at least within the realm of criminal law, that they will be served and protected within that realm, as opposed to constantly trying to protest or go after the existing system. We can't, but we can use part of the existing system, which is that mayor position, because we can create him as anything. We don't, and we can define him or her as anything. The point being is that that position, that office, sits at the apex chronologically, historically, and politically, and every other way, sits at the very top of everybody within whatever boundary I don't even know what the boundaries are anymore. But somebody needs to grab that pen away from this global agenda. And I'm behind Chris 100%. I don't know how I can get to Toronto, but if he's got the people behind him, I think all the freedom fighters know now where they didn't seem to know in previous years that this switch is happening in their city halls using their local officials. It's not being done with Justin or even Moroni or whatever. They did all the fraud shit, but the actual bait and switch is happening at your city hall when you sort of elect your mayor, but then they sort of steal him when they give him a false oath. And then he sort of becomes a CEO of another corporation and ceases to answer to us. That's where we have to get in there. And then you walk away from the monster. You no longer, the city no longer has a monopoly on services. You can tender anything. You can establish your own financial institution and directly, everybody directly deposits temporarily, whatever, into that. We can set up debit cards where anybody homeless can take a debit card and go into the goddamn grocery store or go into a goddamn local restaurant and get a goddamn meal. And that money comes out of whatever trust account is held within that financial institution that is out of this central banking monstrosity. I mean, it is so easy and the timing is so perfect because the crown is done, which means the bar is done, the governments are done, and everybody else in the whole entire world is done.
Well, we need to create an independent nation.
You'll never do it at the national level.
Well, we
never,
need to
ever,
create.
Ever do it. No, this started at the grassroots. This has to be done. We have to grab our people within our separate individual pockets, and then we grow from there. Once one town does this within their jurisdiction, the template can go from there.
We have to get rid of the corporation. Once the corporation is gone, just like you said, once the corporation is gone, once we have control, then they don't have any control.
We don't care about that corporation. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. We just remove ourselves from it, which means the mayor no longer acts as a CEO of that corporation. He no longer remains arm's length. He supersedes in a public capacity over that corporation. So we unincorporate the councillors that have somehow become a committee of the whole or a council of the whole. We unincorporate the incorporated inhabitants, which is the body corporate. But none of that can be happen at the city level, Ron. That has to happen outside of the city level. And that has to happen with somebody that's outside of the legal realm. And the only one that can do that is a mayor, because the Criminal Code of Canada defines a mayor as a justice of the peace, as a sheriff, as a warden, as he's head of whatever he wants to do. He has veto power over every bylaw because it's a corporate charter.
Right.
So you won't have to do anything with the city.
But Sheila, once we start taking back our municipalities, it's going to snowball, because people will understand that they're living in a fictional world that was created for them, the corporation. And
they can learn all that later.
The key is we have to
get back to law. You've always said that, Ron. How do you get back to law? You get out of legal. How do you get out of legal? You unincorporate and you tell the bastards, hey, you no longer represent me or have any authority over, because there's been a mistake. You fraudulently converted my status to an uppercase name.
Once I don't consent to that anymore, they don't have any authority whatsoever. We need to start our own bank.
That's what a mayor can do.
We have $33 trillion worth of resources, of which we have absolutely zero control over. And once we have control of our nation and our people,
doesn't matter the nation. The nation's gone, Ron. The nation's gone. And to try to pull it together at that level, forget it. Canada's huge and it has 37 million people and we're all dumb. We'll never do it. And half of the year is freezing fucking cold. So you'll never get all Canadians to group together, especially now that they've merged multiculturally for what? How many? 50 years now? What is a Canadian?
A Canadian is a legal fictional person.
Well, Canada is defined as only the waters that surround it and are within it, right?
But we, the people, built everything in this nation, meaning the nation belongs to the people, not the corporation. And I have no doubt that we can fix this, because these people are all liars and deceivers, and they're harming everyone in the nation. And we have to unincorporate ourselves.
You get out of their sandbox. Everybody's trying to figure out how to play in their sandbox. It doesn't happen at all.
Well, it's not difficult
at all.
To do.
So you go and you build a new sandbox. And the fastest, easiest, safest way is to reverse what they did to us. What they did is through public-private partnerships, they stole our mayor. The mayor still has a primary jurisdiction, and we proved that during COVID because we needed the mayors to sign the local emergency orders before they could impose restrictions, which were all done by bylaws. That proved that your mayor has more authority than the United Nations within your geographical jurisdiction. That's the only thing we should be talking about, is getting that pen back, that office back, and even just temporarily using that somewhat political infrastructure to establish or set up or build our own sandbox while they just disappear because they'll have no funding. And we're not on the hook for any of these funding loans because we didn't sign for them. The city signed, or the mayor signed in a CEO city capacity. So we're not on the hook for any of that shit. Canada signed that. Canada is a member state of UN. They're responsible for Sustainable Development Goal implementation if they fucking want it, not the locals.
Remove. Well, they only have control over the legal fictional person, not a man or a woman. And we were all incorporated into the corporation, making us assets of the corporation, slaves of the corporation. Of which they just feed off of all the time, which is fraud, and fraud's against the law.
Not anymore. Not anymore, Ron. We tried under the criminal code to fight fraud to everything. They don't recognize fraud. It's like we're under martial law or something. They don't recognize the criminal code. They don't recognize any of our legislation. We're under the United Nations Charter rules, the global rules or the martial rules or something, but they don't recognize fraud. You can throw fraud in their face for all you want. It doesn't even to a police officer. And don't you remember Art and I had a cop or the head police or whatever over to the house when Art was stuck with that credit card fraud where they created a credit card, MasterCard created a credit card in his and his mother-in-law's name that didn't exist. And then they ran it through, and we went and talked to, Bruce McBlain and whoever else was there. And then we had somebody come over and said, well, this is fraud. And they said, yeah, it is, but we don't do anything about it. Sorry for your luck.
Well, you can get these judges to move to law.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. I have done it several times. And
really?
When Michael Schmidt, we went to his first court case in Newmarket. The people all had coolers, and I didn't know what was in them, but there was every cooler had a gallon of raw milk and glasses. And when Michael came out of the courtroom, he had 13 charges against him. And what the judge said was that any man or woman has the right to make an agreement with another man or woman without the interference of the so-called government.
Correct.
And threw all the charges out. And then when we went across the street, like the people were drinking raw milk in the courthouse, when we went across the street to a meeting hall, the people were so happy that the charges were thrown out. But I told Michael, I says, that judge went to law, but the legal club's still going to come after you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're like a casino, Ron. They'll let you win a certain percentage so you keep fucking coming back. But ultimately, they've got control. It's the dangle a carrot or the whole. No, we can't. Don't even go there. I don't even want to talk about lawyers and the legal name and the conversion and all that shit. I want to build a brand new lawful system where we have a local governance, not a municipal government. We have a public official that's a trustee, that's a servant, like we had once. But remember when we had the phone book and the blue pages, so you knew who the hell your government was? You went to the blue pages and they answered the phone? Nobody knows what government is anymore. Nobody, when I ran for mayor, nobody knew what a mayor was anymore. And they laughed at me when I said, well, I'm running for mayor is because we don't have one. And they went, ha, 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 ha. It's like, well, we don't. We have global freaking mayors signed on to the United Nations agenda, or we have private CEOs or head of councils for a city foreign service corporation. We don't have legitimate mayors anymore. A legitimate mayor ensures a local agenda. He serves and protects and answers directly to you, regardless of if you have a postal code or if you have an account or an uppercase name. He follows a rule of law because he's the head justice of the peace. He doesn't follow the color of law under legal and corporate policies. He's like, you remember what you said, he's like the town rooster. He's supposed to sit up there on a post. He's not supposed to talk about religion and say happy Hanukkah or happy Black Lives Matter shit. He sits on the post and he watches out for weasels. And then he goes and services the hens when they need it. That's all the mayor is supposed to do. Protect you and serve you and shut the hell up. Actually, it's kind of like your body. You're only supposed to hear from your body when there's a problem. The same thing with your mayor. You're not even supposed to know he's there unless there's a problem. Well, I guess we have problems now. But, I mean, government is formed by consent of the governed. This government is just slammed down our throat and we no longer have any say. And we never did in the legal system. I mean, this has been years and, well, thousands, right, Ron? I mean, this is the Roman Empire to the British Empire to whatever, to corporations. And so now it's like, let's get back. This is the time. I mean, this is also, we're moving into interesting times with the planet. We're moving into an age of Aquarius where people are seeing two suns. We're getting northern lights down here in Guelph. Like, what the hell is happening? You know, so this is a change. People are really waking up. I mean, now compared to when I ran or you ran 10 years ago and people, you go Agenda 21 and they go, Alex Jones. And now they're going, oh, yeah. As soon as you say 15-minute cities, they go, gotcha. Right. And but they just don't know how it's happening. How it's happening is that Municipal Act oath that the city thinks they're entitled to give a public trusted servant when they have no authority over. They didn't create the public official. They didn't create the office of the mayor. Therefore, they have no authority, but they've assumed it, presumed it, and usurped it via the Municipal Act of 2001, which was basically our Patriot Act in Canada. It basically locked us down to UN control. And then, you know the documents, right? Then the municipal primer comes out, and then the local agenda, ICLEI local agenda 21 comes out, explaining how to restructure your government and partner with these clean green energy places.
What people need to understand, Sheila, is that the council is just, they're really just puppets.
That's not a council, though. That's a capital C council. That's not
a small
C council.
I know. But the CAO
has full control.
Tells the mayor what to say.
Yeah.
And the administration, which has been there forever, is telling the mayor what to say.
Yeah. And he's unelected, he's unaccountable, he rides through every election, so we don't get to replace him every 4 years. We don't even freaking know he's there. And the other problem, too, is the clerk. The clerk sits in the middle of the public office and the private office, and he's sitting there kind of going, like, whoa, he's deciding what comes in the inbox and what goes out and what minutes get written. So that's the problem. And my problem is everybody's going, oh, after our governments, oh, you know, get rid of Trudeau, get rid of Ford, get rid of your... No, we need that basic Canadian structure, because if these mayors resign, then the CAO inherits all of the powers and he's shipped in strictly to implement these 15-minute cities or this depopulation plan. You don't know him. You won't like him. He doesn't like you. And he's, you know, he won't answer to me at all. He sends me to the solicitor whenever I ask. And we barely got to see, who was that, Murray Clark or whatever, the CAO years ago at just a snake, you know. They don't give a damn. They're there for getting a return on the investors, because the investors have, you know, a stake in how this this whole thing goes down, right? So, but no, the key is using that existing mayor there position, and every town can do it. Go and demand your mayor, you know, get under a proper oath, at least expose the bastard, because it's he's actually in treason if he's sworn an oath to a private corporation. That's breach of trust, that's dereliction of duty, that's malfeasance of office, that's everything that, you know, mainly high treason, because the city is a foreign service corporation that he signs over not only geographical jurisdiction, but he signed over whatever's attached to that legal person, whether it be a trust account or a SIN number or a whatever that legal person in. He signed over you to the city without you even knowing or having a say. And that means that's an easy fix. Hey, everybody, do you want to be A, a slave under the city, or B, start our own system under law and start at the town halls in our individual wards, start at a town hall level. Everybody, let's group here. Okay, what do we need? What do we want to do? Then you group with your counselors from the wards. Boom, what do you do there? It's tribal, and then you go, and basically your mayor is just an executor of a trust account, and he releases the money. He should not have any say in what the town wants, per se. He shouldn't have any druthers on whether what he wants. He listens strictly to what you want, and whatever does that with the other mayors within that province, with which still goes to the premier. Like it is a very simple system, and you know how I know it works is because alcoholics make it work. In 12-step organization, and alcoholics are the most narcissistic, self-centered, arrogant, psychopathic people when they're in their prime. But they've developed a system now that's, what, 100 years old, where they can get along and govern without actually governing. And how they do it is they keep money out of it. And they take honor in becoming a trusted servant and serving someone. It becomes honorable to become a mayor and a counselor and do unto others. And actually, you know, a queen, a real queen, is the last one to eat. She doesn't sit in a palace with a ton of gold. So that's what law is. That's what Jesus was trying to explain. He walked around without any shoes. Have no possessions or they'll possess you. And he took his law with him. And even they tried to entrap him in court by tying him to the legal name. You know, are you the king of the Jews? So says you. Never admitted to the name, did he?
Well,
he kept in law.
We were told, take heed no man deceive you, and everybody's been deceived.
Yep.
And when Jesus ran the money changers out of the temple, that should have woke everybody up.
And that temple means your temples. Run the money changers out of from between your own temples.
Yeah.
Get out the profit motive. Help, yeah. Do unto others. Help another. And that's what your government is to serve others. And now they don't belong. Your mayor doesn't belong in a commercial environment, in a corporate environment, under legislation. No. He stays within law, and he can direct the commercial instructions. He can direct tendering of jobs and issuing of money, but he doesn't sit within that commercial environment, because he'll ultimately get taken over or bought or threatened or whatever, and he will have to bow down to the profit motive under that private organization, as opposed to serving, you know, the people that he swore to serve and protect. We've seen it all along, but that's, I think now is the time, and people are realized we've got to care about others. We're this is not going in a good direction, people. Like, you know. So I really think it can happen if one mayor, and you know, use that system to just grab that pen away from these globalists that are writing checks somehow and agreeing to things 50 years in advance. And just hold that pause, and then we'll get your honest judge, Ron, to go to that town and swear in a mayor under law that recognizes the man and the woman, and then we set that template and hey, we'll pay that judge, you know, to go town to town and do it for every town. Solved.
Well, when I busted up the bank in town here, and the judge or the lawyer told me that I was going to do at least 2 years in jail. And I told the lawyer, I said, I hired you. That means you work for me, not vice versa. And you do as I tell you to do. And when we went to court, I just told the judge, I said, I got to go make a phone call to the attorney general's office. And he said, you can't do that. And I said, yeah, I can. And so I left the court and came back a half hour later and told the lawyer, I said, you say exactly what I tell you to say. Not that I busted up the bank. It's why I busted up the bank.
Yeah.
And when he told the judge, the judge said, you know what? If this had happened to me, I'm not so sure I wouldn't have done this exact same thing you did.
Yeah.
And then I said, I see no reason that I should be paying restitution to the bank.
No.
And he said, I don't either.
That's surprising because courts are just basically extensions of the bank and commercial collectors. Around,
it's all about solution.
Well, that's
about solution.
So tell me this, Ron. Who can establish a court of law right now?
Yeah.
Nobody can. You won't get a lawyer to. So this is why my thinking is a duly elected mayor could establish courts of law within their jurisdiction as equally as be able to establish independent financial co-op institutions within their jurisdiction. Couldn't they? They can establish their own police under law for that local police,
exactly.
not municipal police. But who other than a mayor, a duly elected mayor, under a true oath and obligation to the people, men and women, who other than that could get us into law, get us proper police, get us proper courts? Because I'm not going into another court. I was attacked at the Walkerton Courthouse. I'm not going back into another one, ever. We don't belong there. It's a farce. It's a dog and pony act.
Well, it is definitely a farce.
So who can establish local and jury run, you know, a jury of your peers? We can set up the courts of law using our local people. You don't have to have a law degree. There is no such thing as a law degree. It's what, you know, it's basically you can set up your own you know, I don't even know what you call them, but with the local people, and they're almost run like a small claims court, right? That's the closest thing we have to, you know, no lawyers or no legal person. But yeah, and you know, but without police that are sworn to you and your local governance, how are you going to beat this? Those officers are sworn to the United Nations via sworn to the city corporation. And I don't know who the OPP, RCMP isn't, you know. So how do you get your protective services, because those belong to us. The cop cars belong to us. That building belongs to us. Those cop outfits belong to us. Costumes belong to us. How
exactly.
do we get those back under the umbrella of law? The only way is to have the mayor issue executive order, I don't know what the hell, but they're equal on status, I would think. It's very similar to the prime minister nationally or the premier provincially. Well, the mayor is that same status locally, so he can create his own police force. I think it pivots on that role, and I really hope to God that people, especially since it's in Toronto, that people get behind Chris, and the numbers alone could probably break this whole election fraud, dominion system nonsense shit, or at least he could get a lot of information out, because I could barely get across town. I was a one-man show when I ran last fall here, and we had 135,000 voters, and I had, 12 people and, no money. But Chris can, do the whole – and people – Toronto knows about 15-minute cities, and that's a pivotal city, I hope he gets the exposure. I hope he doesn't get attacked, but I really feel he understands how he was a trades. He built houses, Ron. He understands the whole CRA bullshit and nonsense. He's a small businessman and we know, we just know. So,
well,
that's why Trump did so well. As he approached the United States as a business in bankruptcy, he came in, he completed the bankruptcy, and he got out. And that's one of the reasons I think he was chosen, is because he was so familiar with bankruptcies. But that's just my opinion.
Well, we have to teach our people, because most of the people...
We don't have time. We really, Ron, we don't have time. Do you see what they just did last 3 years? They got 5 needles in my father's arm, and my father was a Rhodes Scholar with an IQ of 162. And he ran for Canada in the 1952 Olympics, and they got 5 shots in him, and he had 2 strokes as a result, and he's in a walker, and he still can't put 2 and 2 together that his country is no longer his country. Now, if they can do that, we don't have time to allow lawyers to sit on this. Rocco sat on the Bank of Canada for how long with Comers? That whole nonsense was just, we can't afford to teach the people. We need to grab that pen or grab control locally, as local as we can. And then we can teach and regroup in our town halls if people want to know. Right now, they just want to be able to afford rent, to put gas in their car, and to be able to go to the grocery store for under $200 now.
It's totally off the charts. And
it will be the 100th monkey effect too, I think. Once people start waking up and, because that's what I noticed with the masks, is once people started dropping in, it's like it just kind of was a trickle effect and they just sort of slowly disappeared. And you'll find that way with education. We don't have time to sit down and educate people. Number one, because some people, when they're educated, they're going to get mad and they'll start getting destructive. 2, some will get depressed and start being suicidal. 3, some will freeze and they're no help to you anyway. So you've just wasted your time and created nobody behind you to help fight this. So I don't think education now is, I think it's grabbing control. And personally, I don't agree with these preppers that say, we're going to plan, we're going to make sure that we got our meat and we got our little unincorporated town up here and we got our little property and we got our little lean-tos and we're going to grow our little vegetables. Bullshit. You saw what they did with the Davidians. They're just going to come. We saw what they do with the natives. They throw them on a little reserve. They still have control of the reserve. You're never going to get away from these psychos unless you physically pick up your fucking toys, walk out of their sandbox, and go and make another sandbox. Because you got the toys. We got the toys. They got nothing. They own nothing. They are nothing. They're little pieces of paper. They're nothing.
That's true.
It's just like, bye-bye. But we're feeding them out of ignorance. So you almost need a benevolent dictator as a mayor, which is why I ran, is because I'm the only one that I trusted to do it, because I knew what the fuck I was doing if I won, which wasn't, possible, but still, I couldn't sit back and do nothing. But you need a benevolent dictator that grabs that pen and says, okay, everybody, let's regroup. The monsters are gone, and now we can make anything we want. Okay, so what do we need? Okay, you people over there, you want to focus on housing? Go for it. Bring me back whatever report. You want to focus on getting food to people? Go for it. You want to fix it on fixing the roads? Go for it. Do. Committees made up of the people. You bring it to your town halls. You have a town hall that has your fitness center, has a Tim Hortons that's not a Tim Hortons, has the kids working it, has a retirement home for the senior, has an auto body shop that has everything in your town hall, that not your social place, instead of people going and spending tens of thousands of dollars on Tim Hortons a day in this town. It's unbelievable. If they just took that $10 and put it in their town hall a day, holy shit, we'd have millions, millions. We wouldn't even need to talk to the city anymore. They would dry up and just blow away because we'd have people go, oh, you know what? I cut grass. You know, I'd love to do the gardens in around downtown. Oh, sure. Okay. Oh, great. I do snow removal. I'd be happy to do all the housing parking lots. Oh, sure. Okay. Oh, great. You'd be surprised how it would just naturally unfold because you know why? Deep down inside, everybody's inherently good. Damn good. And they don't want this shit anymore.
Well, that's why we got to wake the people up, because if we don't wake the people up and we don't talk to the people, then we, the people, become the problem.
Yeah, I talk every time I do. Every time, and every time I see someone in a mask, I'll go up to them and say, why are you wearing that still? You know, it's over. And then I'll just get them talking and I'll kind of feel them out. And some of them will say, well, you know, I have a little bit of a cough and I don't want anybody to worry. And you just sort of open up and some of them will just walk away. But I had an interesting time a couple of weeks ago. The member of my gym is Dr. Nicola Mercer, who is the head kahuna of the public health agency here, which is the Wellington Dufferin Guelph Public Health. She's a member of my gym, and she was in the change room a few weeks back, and I got to confront her. Guess what? She no longer works at public health. She's working in real estate now, and this bitch was the one that mandated masks on everybody, all the kids, all the schools, mandated all the shots, went on television saying, oh, how safe and effective they were. And now she's just caught, slowly, quietly disappeared and works in a real estate office now. It's like you can't deal with these people. You can't go after them. You can't sit in anger or resentment. You can't sit in the problem anymore. You just got to pick up your toys and go and build something else. And I honestly believe Chris has the right idea. He's got a lot of people behind him that are all good people. He's listened to some of his stuff. He knows that law and legal. And like I say, he's a businessman. He was a tradesperson. Anybody that knows about building houses and putting up with looky-loos and what did you call them, pencil necks? I mean, yep. You know, they got some sense about them. So I think it's – and even if it doesn't work, what the hell else do we have? We have people going after Nasara funds. We have Queen Ramana going across Canada. We have QAnon saying that Trump's coming back. We have, you know, all of these things, people, these chickens with their head cut off running around. This is the most solid concrete, and the election is only May, which means we can take this – right before the whole freaking currency crash goes. And he could grab that control before, you know, I'm just concerned about what happens when these banking crashes happen. If you have somebody that's protecting you, you know, like we have no sheriffs or police. I just think it's the perfect timing. I don't even think
it's all about education, Sheila, because I have police now shaking my hand.
Yep. Yeah.
I have all kinds of people waving at me when I drive down the street.
Well, I've had more calls and emails and texts from Alberta. I had one from Saudi Arabia. I had one from Dallas, Texas. I had them from British Columbia. More of them now than I did when I was running for mayor, because people are finding my stuff now and realizing what I was saying about we got these public-private partnerships, and that public-private partnerships is fraud because you cannot serve two masters. It's impossible for your mayor to say one thing to you locally and then go into a secret mayor meeting and say something else to an energy company. Literally impossible. So your problem is your public-private partnership. Who controls that? The mayor. It's not the councillors. It's not the CAO, because the CAO still needs your mayor. He can't do nothing without the mayor. He is nothing without the mayor. So this is why I think, you know, if we can get some support behind Chris and take that town, it could set the template for Canada, put us on the map again. And you got to admit, he's put Canada on the map, you know, and he's really fought. He's gone cross country, really fighting for this. And I don't know. I just I don't see any other way. And I'm not one to sit back and do nothing. I'm not one that goes and makes sure I've got my little silver collection and my freezer full of beef and my you know, whatever. And while everybody else can just go to hell, I'm not one of those either. But I'm really sick of just, you know, going and trying to talk to these legal fiction nonsense corporate people, because there's nothing in their eyes. It doesn't go anywhere. I really believe we just have to start this new system, and it has to be something that's based in the existing infrastructure. It can't be off in la-la land, like, you know, oh, let's just follow natural law. Oh, let's just follow common law. We still have to have a legal component, because we still have bills. We still have to operate in a commercial capacity, but we can't be on the hook for that commercial person. We want to be able to use that uppercase name, but we want it protected, and I think that's where... people can't do that individually. That's what the Freemen tried, and they got picked off individually. That's what we tried with the house, and we got picked off with the foreclosure. But if you did it jointly, I really think it could work and just totally be the last stone to take down this whole nonsense. 'Cause it's coming down. It really. I mean, how many banks
now?
It is
coming down.
Four banks are done. And what was that? The Silicon Valley was behind all the green technology, all the biotechnology, and there was a third one it was behind too. That was interesting. So those industries are done. This is really, really neat time. And if Nasara Jassara is real.
It's a perfect time, Sheila. It is absolutely a perfect time.
Yeah.
And we have the right and we have the ability to flip things right side up again.
Yep. We
and,
just write another oath.
We all have a duty to do so.
Well, yeah, because I was even looking at, okay, even the Oath of Allegiance, which is the federal oath that they swear to, you don't want to have anything about the Queen or the King. That's the other interesting thing is these new mayors and councillors from last fall
people.
Is they swore to the King. Well, he's not a king yet, so their oaths are null and void.
Well, when the King, when the lawyers went to the King long, long, long time ago... and said, we got an idea.
Yep.
We can make a whole bunch of money off of this. And the King said, well, if I sell the land, I won't be the King.
Yep.
And they said, no, we came up with this thing called property.
Yeah.
And we can tax them and we can make money when they sell it. But you'll always own the land.
Yeah, we can keep the feudal system and they can remain serfs or goyims.
Yeah, it's, well, the head guy from... security at Attorney General's office, which I spoke to twice when we were in court, we knew each other, and in the end he said, you know, you're not one of those freaking free men on the land people. You're a man with a great deal of knowledge, but you do realize we never left the feudal system.
And that's right.
You know, and they just put the boot on you, and we have to change that.
Yeah,
but
I
got to tell
everything
you,
that
Sheila,
happened municipally was done through like a if you set up your own financial independence institution and people deposited their property tax in, and let's say that all the services in town were operated under like a GoFundMe, so you would just put whatever money you want. Okay, I want to put $100 toward the roads getting fixed. I want to put $100 for, and you would have full control over what services were getting funded. You know, so the people would have a say on where their money was going. It's a very simple system, and it's actually far more complicated. There's only one law, do no harm. And how many billions of legislated acts and statutes and whatever the hell else have they got on the books? So it's I think it's very, very simple. I think it's the perfect time. But I think it can't be done individually. Like everybody do it on their own. I think somebody has to take some sort of a sense of an authority role as a type right. of a temporary guardian or a temporary trustee or a warden or a sheriff or whatever, take that temporary spot just to regroup, and then we can set up whatever the hell we want.
Exactly. And we can set up people.
We can set up 15-minute cities where we have a local market around us, but not fit their 15-minute cities. Like, no way. So, I think it's an interesting time, and I think it really is key. And I'm going on another show tomorrow night. I'm doing radio shows up the wazoo. I don't know what they are though until I call in. So, but this one tomorrow's in Alberta. So it's like 9 o'clock at night, but people are putting two and two together. They're realizing that appealing, you know, going and sitting in council meetings is a waste of time. Writing your MP, your MPP is a waste of time, and they're really starting to understand this law legal flip. And I think this piece is just starting to fit now on how did these sustainable development goals happen in our town when nobody here wants them? How did this rainbow sidewalk appear overnight when nobody wanted them? Or these barriers in between a bike lane and the driving lane. Who said what to this, and why did the money go to that? And now they're going to see, oh, because the CAO is bringing the plan to the mayor instead of the mayor bringing the plan to the CAO to execute or to administer. Yeah. And so that vers visa is an easy switch. You put the CAO back in his cage, and you put the mayor back on his rooster post, watching out for weasels that are going in and raping all the hens and destroying the place and selling the place, really. You know, that's just, I think it's a fascinating time. And I thank you, Ron, for really, you woke me up a lot. Like many years ago, we were going through that foreclosure, and, you know, you introduced me to the whole Agenda 21, gave me the municipal primer. And before that, I was, just filing taxes and thinking, okay, this world is kind of screwy, but I guess I can, you know, fit in. But Now I think you were born ahead of your time, because I think now you've got the more people that know, whereas you've spent a lot of years, what, from 1970, just kind of all by yourself with this information, trying to say it out there every week in any way. And people just going, oh, you freaking crazy conspiracy. What do you mean United Nations is here?
We only got less than a minute, but I can't thank you enough for coming on, Sheila. And if you go to your Skype, Leslie Borey, your name's in there too.
Oh, I owe Leslie a call.
There was a whole bunch of people sending messages while you were talking.
I owe so
you may want to go through them.
I owe Wayne, Leslie, I think Robert, I don't know. And my apologies. I just got a new phone because mine was dying, and it didn't transfer my contacts. So like, anyway, I know you only got a minute left, but some of the stuff I see in Skype, I just go scrolling through awesome stuff. I don't have time to comment, but it's really neat to see this information come out, because once upon a time, back in 2012, people didn't know anything.
They didn't know anything at all.
Yeah. Lots of the pieces, Ron.
Well, there's the music. I cannot thank you enough, Sheila, for coming on. I got to come down and see you.
Definitely.
Okay. Everybody take care, and we're going to win.
Okay, thanks, Leslie. Talk to you later.
Join me on the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions to the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic.